Well, good morning.
Morning.
Morning. If you would take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a smartphone and you don't have a Bible on it, if you'll hand it to a teenager, you'll have a Bible in about 30 seconds. So we appreciate you being here today. This is a little bit of a different schedule of our services today. I'll be speaking for a little bit. And then Brother Scott will be giving us a review of the budget. We do that because we want everything to be done not only in decency and order, as 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us, but with openness. There's nothing that's done at this congregation that's not open to the public. So we want you to know that, and Brother Scott will give an account of the money that we take in here in just a moment. Speaking of that, Acts chapter 13. For those of you who have been here a while, you know that we always do a lesson on giving on the same week that we discuss our budget. And I've entitled it, Why Must I Give? And I will tell you this. It's not because it's a command, although it is a command. It's not because God loves a cheerful giver, although God loves a cheerful giver. It should be because our giving results in glory to God. Your giving results in glory to God. I mean, thinking about doing this lesson, and I don't know if you believe me about this, because this is the kind of thing that if I were to hear, I would be a little skeptical of someone. Maybe this is a preacher story. But while we were gone over the break, we run into a lot of people who listen to the radio show. And I have literally had people come and have tears in their eyes when they tell me how much they appreciate the radio show. Now, I don't tell you that for me. I tell you that because you need to hear it. Because the work that we do here at this congregation literally leads to the glorifying of God. And the preaching of the gospel leads to the glorifying of God. In Acts chapter 6, Peter says there that they should not stop to wait tables, that they should give themselves fully to the word of God. Preaching is a God-given enterprise. Preaching and benevolence result in glorifying God. So why must I give? I must give because the work that it supports glorifies God. So let's start in Acts chapter 13. And I ask this question, it's kind of silly, but I don't mean it that way. Have you ever enjoyed preaching? And I don't necessarily mean mine, I mean any preaching. Have you ever been grateful that you could hear preaching? In the Bible, we have a lot of examples of people who were grateful that they could hear the Word of God. And we have that in Acts chapter 13. And I want to look at two examples here of situations where people, just the idea that they could hear the word of God made them burst out in praise. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 32. And what we have here is Paul and Barnabas in Antioch of Pisidia. And as they always do, and you know the answer to this question, the first place Paul would ever go in a city is where? He would go to the Jewish synagogue and he would preach there. And inevitably, he'd get run out and he'd have to go to the Gentiles. Well, this is what we see in Acts chapter 13, beginning of verse 32. Acts chapter 13, verse 32 and 33. It reads like this. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it was written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just the idea of hearing the message of Jesus Christ. The idea of hearing the good news that I can have salvation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Rick mentioned in his class today that we live in a world of people that are hurting. We're living in a world of people who do not have answers. Who are lonely, who feel alone, who feel left out in this world. Well, they don't have Christ. They don't have the gospel message. And the gospel message, where the gospel goes, glorifying God goes. Look on over in verse 47. Paul here preaches this message to the Jews. As we talked about earlier, he gets run out. And let me back up to verse 44 for just a minute. Verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Think about that for just a moment. Just to hear preaching. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you have thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Now here's where I want you to pay attention. Look at what happens when the word of God is preached. Verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. What happens when you give? Preaching happens. What happens when preaching happens? Rejoicing and glorifying God. That's why we're here. We're not here to glorify one another. We're not here just to build each other up. We are here to glorify God. We are here to spread the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's what we're here to do as a church. When we come together on Sunday morning, it is something we are to do, but it really is just preparing ourselves for what we should be doing out there. Talking to others about Jesus Christ. They may not know the message. They may not know they can have forgiveness. They may not know how simple it is. Christianity is difficult, yes, but it's very, very simple. Very simple. And I will tell you this, it's made a lot easier if you give yourself fully to God. Christianity is only difficult when I'm trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. Because that's where the struggle is. If I submit and give myself fully to God, Christianity becomes easy. We don't have to resist the blood. We don't have to dig. Christianity is not digging ditches. It's not. It may be giving up something that I want to do, yes. But I can do that through faith in Jesus Christ. That if I serve Him, He will save me. If I believe that and I give myself to Him, then I'm thrilled that I hear the gospel message. I rejoice and I glorify God. The same thing happens all over the book of Acts. And I want to tie this directly to the contribution by going to Acts chapter 18. If you don't mind, turn over to Acts chapter 18. We'll look at a situation where giving equals preaching equals glory to God. And in this instance, the same pattern here arrives with Paul preaching to the Jews first and then going to the Gentiles. But here what we see added in is this. A contribution is made to the work of the Lord and enables Paul to give himself fully to preaching and teaching. And the same thing happens. Giving produces preaching. Preaching produces glorification to God. In Acts chapter 18, in the first couple of verses, we find here that Paul has come into this city and he has joined himself to some fellow tent makers. Why is that important? Because Paul's working for a living. Well, when he's working for a living, can he give himself fully to preaching and teaching? No, he cannot. Something happens that changes, and he can give himself fully to preaching and teaching. What is the thing that happens, and what is the result of the preaching and teaching? Acts chapter 18, verse 4. It says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Notice he doesn't say every other day. Why on the Sabbath? Because that's when Paul could get away from his work. That's when he had opportunity. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. So what changed? Paul goes from where he's occupied with tent making and preaching on the Sabbath to where he's occupied full time with the word. We might say, I don't know what happened, preacher. But you know what? We have the rest of the Bible to help us understand this. Because when Timothy came, from where did he come? Notice he came from Macedonia. One of the churches of that region is a church in Philippi. So if you take your Bibles and you turn over to Philippians chapter, keep a finger in 18. You're going to be mad at me if you don't keep a finger in Acts 18 because we're coming back there. But for just a moment, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Look at what Paul says about this church in Macedonia and what they did and what they gave by the hand of Timothy that changed Paul's ability to preach. Verse 15 of Philippians chapter 4. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, what do they have with them? Whoops. Why is my screen not changing? Huh. I apologize. It's changed on here. It's just not changed for you. I'm sorry. I didn't realize my screen wasn't changing. What you see there is Timothy and Silas have the gift given in Philippi, given in Macedonia, brought to Paul at Corinth, and then what can he do? Look now at verse 8, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. When people give, it supports the preaching of the word. When it supports the preaching of the word, what happens? Rejoicing happens. Believing happens. Baptizing happens. Without it, that doesn't exist. Right? We're all familiar with Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're familiar with that rest of that passage, Paul says, how can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they have a preacher unless he is, do you know the rest of that text? Unless he is sent. Financially supporting. So why must I give? Because we want God to be glorified. We want churches to be built up. We want the message to go to a lost and dying world. So that people will rejoice and glorify and believe and baptize. These are the God-given result of supporting man to preach the gospel. Well, now let's turn from the idea of preaching the word to supporting benevolence, to supporting giving. And if you would, turn to Romans chapter 15. I'll be over there in just a moment. There are two things that churches do with the money taken up on the Lord's Day. We support the preaching and teaching of the gospel, and we support the needs of the local body. Benevolence, we call it charity. So when you give, why must I give? Because we are to support those things. Those are the work of Christ. Christ died on the cross that those things may happen. Why did Christ die on the cross? To seek and save the lost, that others may be saved. How are they saved? They have to hear the message. Once people are brought into the body of Christ, the Bible teaches us that their needs are always to be taken care of. That there should be no needy within the walls of a church. So in Romans chapter 15 and verse 25 and 26, Romans chapter 15, verse 25 and 26, we find out what Paul is doing regarding benevolence. He says, at present, Romans 15, 25, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. Now, for just a moment, let me note there that Macedonia and Achaia are regions. Achaia, the main city of that region, is a city named Corinth. So when we go to 2 Corinthians, we see this same idea of Paul preparing this gift to aid the needy saints in Jerusalem. So if you would, turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what we find is that Christians have given of their means so that saints could be relieved of their needs. So what happens when that charity occurs? What happens when preaching occurs? God is praised. What happens when benevolence occurs? God is praised. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Listen to what the Word of God says. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Remember that from Romans 15? Among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Why must I give? We shouldn't look at it as, why must I give? Why can't I give more? These Christians in Macedonia were begging that they might participate. They don't look at it as money. Look at it as the service that it provides. Look at it as the relief of the saints. The Macedonian brothers didn't say, well, what can I do with this denarius? How can I give this denarius? No, they begged and pleaded. We want to participate in alleviating the needs of our brothers. And they gave themselves first to who? To God, to the Lord, and then to us. If we see ourselves as vessels of the Lord's work, it doesn't become, why must I give? But why can't I give? Why can't I want God to be praised. I want there to be glory produced in the preaching of the word. I want there to be glory to God when the needs of saints are relieved. Look over one chapter in the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. What was the result? What was the result of the giving and the charity? When people gave, it produced charity. We talked about it in the first part of the sermon. When they gave, it produced preaching. What did the preaching produce? It produced rejoicing to God. Well, the same thing occurs when people give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 through 15. Listen to what the Word of God says. For the ministry of this service, in other words, this giving that you've done, that the churches of Macedonia have done, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, look here, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, the generosity of your contribution for them and for all. While they long for you, pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Are you glad that God gave you salvation? Has it taught you anything? Paul is saying we should be taught that if God has been generous to us, we should be generous to others. And when people see that we are generous to others, that we want to alleviate their need, just as God looked down on us and realized our need for forgiveness, and He alleviated that need, we should look to the physical needs of others and say, why can't I alleviate theirs? It shows the light of the gospel in us, and it produces thanksgiving to God. Why must I give? What a weak and beggarly attitude that is. Why must I give? When can I give? How can I give? May God be praised. When we alleviate the needs of others, when we spread the word of God, God is glorified. God is given the thanks. So why must we give? Because giving equals preaching, it equals glory to God. Giving, as you can see from the screen behind me, giving equals charity, which produces praise to God. Your contribution leads to thanksgiving to God, glorifying God, rejoicing, glorifying, believing, baptizing. That's why. That's our message this morning. We're going to look at words on a page, letters on a page, and they're going to may seem dry, and we're going to talk about budget items and how we pay for the grass and how we pay to clean the building. And man, that's just going to seem like, man, that doesn't seem very spiritual. But it's those things that must be done so that the gospel can be preached, so that the Bible can be taught to members of the church, so we can be built up in the Word. And why is that done? Because God is glorified when there is preaching and teaching and believing and baptizing. So when we look at the budget, don't look at it as numbers on a page. Look at it as God being glorified. That's our message for this morning. Have you glorified God in your submission to Him? Have you ever become a Christian? If you have not, we stand before you ready to aid. We talked about in our Bible class this morning that Paul said that the cross of Christ did not need to be emptied of its power. Why? Because it is the message of the cross that God loved us enough to send His Son down to die upon the cross, that we might have forgiveness of sins, that we might have a home eternal in heaven with Him. If you've never entered into that new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ and therefore with the Father, if you've never been born again of water and the Spirit, We'd love for that to happen for you today as we stand and we sing.